Okay, today's daf is Shavuos daf Mem Hey. We are starting the seventh parak of Maseches Shavuos. We're at the Mishnah on daf Mem Dalet Amud Beis. A very, very long Mishnah. So it says the Mishnah daf Mem Dalet Amud Beis. Kala nishbar shebetarun nishbar v'lo mishalmin ve'elu nishbar v'nolten. So basically, what that introduces us to this parak. Previously, we were discussing Shavuos Dar Raisa. The last parak spoke about Shavuos Hadayanim, and there we discussed at the beginning of the sixth parak how there are three types of Shavuos Hadayanim that are Shavuos Midar Raisa. You have the Shavuos Madam Mitzvah, Shavuos Eid Echad, and Shavuos HaPikadon of Shamrim. Now we're going to get into Shavuos that are Shavuos Dirabanan. So we said one basic characteristic that distinguishes Shavuos Dar Raisa from Shavuos Dirabanan is that Shavuos Dar Raisa are Nishbatan Velo Mishalman, that the person who swears is always swearing to get off the hook, to not have to pay. Whereas Shavuos Rabbanan, that we're going to discuss, are Nishbatin V'Notlin, that the person who swears gets paid. It's a Takarna Rabbanan that you could take a Shavua in order to receive payment, not a Shavua in order to get off of payment, says the Mishnah. So these are those people who are nishba in v'notlin. Hasachir, a worker, v'hanigzal, someone who was stolen from, v'nechbal, someone who was beaten up, v'shekenegdo chashar al shvua, when the other party is suspected about lying about a shvua, v'chen v'ni alpin kaso, and a storekeeper who keeps a ledger of his business activity. So the Mishnah is going to explain each case where you have the Shvua of Nishba and Vinotlin. So number one, Hasachir Ketzad. What's the case of a Sachir that's a Nishba and Vinotlin? So number one, so the case is as follows. Amr lo ten li schari. The worker says, give me my wages, sheyeshli biyadcha, that you owe me. V'hu omer, and the employer says, nasati, what do you mean give you? I already paid you. V'alo omer, the employee says, lo natalti, you didn't already pay me, I never got any payment. Who nishba v'notel? So, or hareze nishba v'notel. So the employee, if he wants to get paid, there's a takana that he's able to take a shavua in order to get paid. Rabbi Yehuda, Omer Rabbi Yehuda says, no, ad sheteisha miktas hoda'a. He can't take a shavua to get paid unless there was some hoda'a, there was some level of hoda'a. Meaning, according to Rabbi Yehuda, the whole idea that the Rabbanan are mesakein, nishban v'notlin, is only when there was a chiyuv shavua on the nitva, on the one who the claim is being made against, and the chachamim, the whole takanas chachamim, is not to invent a shavua out of thin air. The takanas chachamim is to take an existing shavua and flip it onto the other guy. So it has to be a case where the employer was modeh b'miktas, and once he's modeh b'miktas, he's really chayev the shvua. Comes along the chachamim, and they say that no, instead of the employer taking the shvua and getting off the hook, the employee is going to take the shvua and he's going to receive the money. That's how Rabbi Yehuda understands. The chacham never invented a brand new shvua by the sachir. So Rabbi Yehuda merachitesha miktas odaa. You need at least some modeh b'miktas. Ketzad. So what's the case? The employee says, I want you to give me the 50 dinar that you owe me. V'omers kabalt the dinar zahav. And the employer says, not 50, I already gave you a dinar zahav. And a dinar zahav, we're assuming, is the equivalent of 25. And therefore, I only owe you 25. Ah, so he's modeh b'miktas. Then instead of the guy who's modeh b'miktas, the employer taking the shvua, the employee takes the shvua and therefore has the right to collect. Once he takes the shvua, the right to collect the rest. That's case number one. Case number two, nigzal ketzad. What's the case of a nigzal? They're made against the person that the guy went into his house to take a mashkon without permission. Hu omer kelai natalta. And he says, you took my kelim. Hu omer lo natalti. And the other guy says, no, I didn't take any kelim. Hu nishba v'notel. So the person whose kelim were supposedly taken can take a shavua in order to receive, to get paid back for them. Good, because again, and over here the point is that there were edim that he was nichnas lebeso. Question is, what did he take? But we know that he went into his house to take something. Question is, what did he come out with? So over here it's raglayim ledavar that he probably did take something, because after all, you have witnesses that he was there. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda says, no, even in that case, ad sheteisham miktas hoda'a. You're never Omer lo shnei kelim natalti. He says, you took two of my kelim. V'omer lo natalti ala echad. And the guy says, no, I only took one of them. So he's modem mitzvahs. He should really take a shvur d'oraisa to get off the hook from paying back the other kli. But the Rabban were misake in Rabbi Yehuda's view that we flip the shvua onto the other guy to say that that two kelim were taken and therefore he's nishba benotel. Case number three, Nechbal Ketzad. What's the case of the guy who gets beaten up? There are Edom that saw that Reuven, when he went into his meeting with Shimon, was perfectly healthy when he walked in, and he came out completely battered and bruised. So we know something happened in there. And Reuven says to Shimon, you beat me up. You're the one that hurt me. And Shimon says, I don't know what you're talking about. I never touched you. Reuven can take a shavua that Shimon is in fact the person who beat him up, and he can then collect from Shimon. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda says, no, not so fast. You need to have at least a mixas hoda'ah, like Rabbi Yehuda keeps on saying. Ketzad, omer lo chavalti b'shtayim, v'lo omer lo chavalti b'ach ela achas. So he says, you were chavul b'two, and he says, no, I was only chavul you once. So that's a modu b'mixas, and therefore he's going to be able to collect. Fine. Now, just before we move on to the next page, there was this line where in the case of the Sakhir, where Rabbi Yehuda says that you need a mixas hoda'ah. So what was the case that Rabbi Yehuda said, do you have a mixas hoda'ah? Someone says, you owe me my wages of 50 dinar. And the employer said, what do you mean 50 dinar? I already paid you a dinar zahav. So is that really the case that out of the 50, he was only moda one out of the 50? So normally when we give an example of moda mixas, although it's true, if I ask you for $50,000 and you say that that you already paid me $1,000, that is moda mixas. But normally when we're going to give an example of moda mixas, we always go with half. Right, we'll always say, I ask you for 50, you say you already paid me 25. That's just the way the Gemara and Mishnayos generally give the examples of moda b'miksa. So Tosfos over here says, his kabaltami and dinar zav, if you look at Tosfos, says, mashma shehu chafhei dinar kesef. The implication is that a dinar zahav is worth 25 dinar kesef. Because the guy says, you owe me 50 dinar kesef, and he says, no, I'm moda that I already paid you, I say I already paid you one dinar zahav. And therefore what? Therefore I owe you another dinar zahav, because a dinar zahav is worth 25 dinar kesef. So that's what's mashma from here. V'achinami muchach b'ed yibereish hazav, and he says, and it's beforeish that way in the Gemara in Bavitzia daf mem dalid. Tosfos asks a very interesting question, and he doesn't ask a kasha from a stira from another Gemara or anything like that. Tosfos says, I opened up the newspaper this morning, I checked the prices of gold and the prices of silver, and granted they fluctuate in relation to each other, and sometimes silver is very high and sometimes gold is very high. But so much, they're going to fluctuate so much. He says, I can't imagine that there was ever a time that gold was worth 25 times what silver was worth. That one dinar zav is going to be 25 dinar kesef. The kashal rabbeinu tam, the eich nishtana kolkach. How could it change so much? Da achshav ein zakuk shel zav yosem yudzukukim shel kesef. He says nowadays a dinar zav is only 10 times the value of a dinar kesef. It's not even 10 times the value of a dinar kesef. So it was really, in the times of the Mishnayos, it was 25 times the value of a dinar kesef, just very hard to accept. What's the value difference nowadays? Anyone know? It's gold, silver? What? So 10 times. Something like that. Yeah, 25 times sounds too extreme. Baruch Hashem for blackberries. Okay. V'omer Rabbeinu Tam. So Rabbeinu Tam answers, the dinar zahav of mishal kesef v'yishokel kiflayim, that the dinar zahav is thicker. So the reason why dinar zahav is 25 times the value of a dinar kesef is not because gold is 25 times the value of silver. The dinar that they used to make out of gold was a coin that was a thicker coin. It had more gold in it than the silver coin had silver in it. And he goes on to say, lines later, Lufichach Shava Chafei Shazav Shava Yud Beishal Kesef, Kedemuchach Bagada Shmuel, that really the Zav is 12 times that of Kesef, but because it's much thicker, it turns out to be 25 times. And he quotes from the Agada Shmuel, from the Medrash on Sefer Shmuel, Deparach Kray Adadi, Debe Sefer Shmuel, that he asks a stirim psukim, that it says in Sefer Shmuel, Gabe Gorin Arvana Hayavusi, by the threshing floor of Arvana Hayavusi, which is the Makom HaMikdash that David HaMelech purchased from Arvana Hayavusi, Kasav Chamishim Shkalim, it says that he purchased for Chamishim Shkalim, Ubdivriyam Ksiv Shikle Zahav Sheish Meos, that it says 600 shekels. Uperpasu desvach mishani. So which was it? Was it 50 shekels or was it 600? So in the last paragraph of Masechus Zvachim, the Gemara answers Allah shegavami called shevet nun, that it was 50 shekels for each shevet, which came out to 600 shekels, because 50 times 12 is obviously 600. Av b'medrash mishani shenasan lo sheish meo shiklei kesef shem nun shel zav. But the medrash says not like the Gemara, that he gave him 600 shekel kesef, which is 50 shekel zahav. For Kradish Shmuel Hachi Prusho Kesef Kol Kach, he gave him so much kesef shem nun shel zahav, that it was the equivalent of 50 zahav. The Devarei Yamim Sheish Meos Mi Kesef shem nun shkalim zahav dain yud beis chalakim. And in Devarei Yamim it says he gave him 600 shekel kesef. So he says it's really 12 times the value.
$18
per ounce of. And which is, and how much for an ounce of gold?
Over
$1,000 for an ounce of gold. Okay, interesting. So that is really 25 times, more than 25. Okay, wow, all right.
It's only these days, because gold really
doesn't. Yeah, nowadays it's different. Okay, nowadays I guess the market can fluctuate. From the times of Tosos to our times, it can fluctuate that much. So maybe from the times of Mishnah to Tosos.
Why would Tosos ask such a question, though?
Yeah, I don't know. It's an economic question. I don't know. That's why I was fascinated by the question, because it's very atypical of Tosfos to ask that kind of question. I don't know. Yeah, I mean, but, right? Okay. Yeah, I don't know. Okay, so says the Mishnah Vayta. We are now on the bottom line of Mem Dalet Amud Beis. The fourth case of the Mishnah, Shekenegdo Chashur Al Shvua. Ketan, what's the case of Shekenegdo Chashur Al Shvua, where the Rabbanan impose a Shvua? Whether it be any of the typical shvuos, whether it be shvuos ha'edus or shvuos ha'pikadon, v'afilu shvuos shav, haya echon me'en misachik b'kuvio malva b'ribis v'mafricha yonim v'sokre shvius, if the party who's chayiv the shvua, one of them, the guy who's chayiv the shvua, is possible to take a shvua because he's a gambler, he is a malva b'ribis, he lends with interest, he's a mafricha yonim, he raises pigeons, or he does business with shmitah produce, shekenegadon. So the Rabbanan were misakein, all is not lost. The guy who was supposed to take the Shvua doesn't take the Shvua because he can't. So rather, the other party takes the Shvua and therefore collects based on the Shvua. What if you have both parties that are chashur al Shvua? Hayu shnein chashudin? Chazra Shvua l'makom adivir Rabbi Yossi. So Rabbi Yossi says the Shvua goes back to the original party who's supposed to take it. Obviously, he can't take it, and therefore he's gonna lose. He's gonna have to pay up. But he's the one that's faulted for not being able to take the shvua because the original chiyuv was really on him. Rameir Omer Yachloku. Rameir says no. They just split it. They split the difference since neither of them is able to take the shvua. It's both of their faults that we're unable to resolve this case, and therefore they split the money. Right. So I guess the question is, how do you view this takana that the shvua flips to the other person? Do we say that it now becomes his shvua, or that we always maintain the view that midah oraisa, the shvua belongs to the one who was really chayiv to take the shvua? It's just that we had an out, we had another way of being mevarer as a backup plan, but that didn't change the ultimate responsibility of the case lying squarely on the shoulders of the person who was originally chayiv to take the shvua. Okay, fifth case, v'achenveni al pinkaso ketzad. What's the case of achenveni al pinkaso, that a storekeeper who's got a ledger? What kind of shvua de rabbanan are we talking about? What's the case? Lo sheyomer lo. It's not where the storekeeper says kasuv al pinkasi shatachayv li masayim zuz. That it says on my ledger, it says in my accounts, in my computers, that you owe me 200 zuz. Ela omer lo, but rather the case is as follows. Ten l'bnei sasayim chitin, ten l'pol yisel l'ma'os. A guy says, give my son two saws of wheat, or give my workers a sela of money. Hu omer nasati, and the storekeeper says, yeah, your son came in, I gave him the two saws of wheat. Ve'hein omrim, and they say, lo natalnu, we don't know what you're talking about, he never gave us anything. So, hu nishba v'notel, so basically the storekeeper says, you owe me money, because I gave your workers, your avadim, I gave them the what you asked for, the produce that you asked for. So you owe me money. The avadim say, he never gave us anything, and therefore we have nothing to give back to you. So the guy who sent them is out all this money. So the halacha is, who nishba v'notel, the heim nishba v'notlin. The chenveni himself swears and collects the payment, the heim nishba v'notlin, and the workers themselves also can swear and collect their payment for doing their job. So everyone gets to be nishba v'notel, and the guy who loses out is the one who wanted to purchase the items in the first place. So Amar ben Nanas, ketzad elu ve'elu bal nidei shvur ashav. So ben Nanas said, how could you allow that to happen? Then it's going to turn out that somebody's definitely not telling the truth over here. You can't have two opposing parties both take a shvua and definitely contradict each other. You're causing problems with the shvua and Beis Din. So says ben Nanas, elu notel shalom b'shvua. Rather, nobody takes a shvua. Everyone collects, nobody takes a shvua. Now, the lashon of the Mishnah is a little bit difficult. That Benana says, Elu ve'elu bal nidei shvua shav. Is that true? That both of them are bal nidei shvua shav? And after all, isn't one of them? First of all, the lashon shav is seems incorrect. It's shvua sheker. One of them is saying a shvua sheker. And second of all, they're not both doing it. One of them is. One of them is telling the truth. So if you look at Rashi, Rashi says elu ve'elu ba'in lebeizin lishav shvua shav mi beinehem delesbu de'inu mishaker. That it means elu ve'elu. When elu ve'elu come to Beis Din, you can't help but have somebody taking a shvua shav. Meaning, because one of them is going to be lying. So the point is, not that both of them are taking a shvua shav, but when both of them come, one of them is taking a shvua shav. That's how Rashi understands the lashon of the Mishnah. In the Sefer Chashukei Chemed, he had a shayla, where he analyzes this a little bit. He had a shayla about a guy who's running a shop where he knows that there's a problem of some of his employees stealing. But he doesn't want to be mashpia the workers because he knows that they're going to lie, that they're going to take a shvua a sheker, and he doesn't want to be mashpia them a shvua sheker. So he comes up with the following yetza. He wants to get all of the workers together in a room and tell them that he knows that there are people that are stealing, and as a warning shot, he's going to be mashpia one of the workers. He's going to take one guy and be mashpia him. Now, and next time he's going to be mashpia everybody, and he chooses for the first time someone he knows for sure that didn't steal, a guy that he knows is innocent, because he'd rather not have other people take a shvua sheker. Because if he's mashbia everybody, they're all going to take a shvua sheker. So he takes a guy who's an honest guy, who's never stolen anything, and this way there won't be anybody taking a shvua sheker. So he wants to know, is that mutter? Is that causing somebody to take a shvua shav? Because the guy that he's having take the shvua, he knows hasn't stolen anything. So Rav Zilberstein points out that in our Mishnah, Chenveni alpin kasav, right? We have this case of Elu Ve'elu, where Benana says you can't have them both come to Beis Din and take a shvua, because then it's for sure going to be a shvua shav. And he asks the kasha, what do you mean? It's for sure going to be, they're both going to be taking a shvua shav. Only one of them is taking a shvua shav. So he points out how Rashi understands it, but then he points out that the Shita Mekubetzes and Bav Metziah Dav Beis Din Beis quotes in the name of the Radvaz that they're both going to be Balidei shvua shav. Why? Echon Nishba L'Sheker Mamish. One of them is lying, the Gorim is Chaveru Lishava Bechinam, and therefore, because one of them is lying, he's causing not only himself to take a Shvua Sheker, he's causing the other guy to take a Shvua that really would have been unnecessary. Sharehu Yodea Emes, because he knows the truth. And that's why it makes sense that it calls it a shvua shav and not a shvua sheker, because the point is one of them is taking a shvua sheker, and because one of them is taking a shvua sheker, the other guy is taking a shvua shav. The Kotzker said that the Vard is, the reason why it's Elu ve'Elu, Kotzker said, is that the definition of a Shvua Shav is that a Shvua typically is supposed to come and be Mevare for us what the reality is, what the truth is. If you have two opposing parties both taking a Shvua, and we end up, the court case, still not knowing what the truth is, still having no idea what the truth is, then by definition they were both a Shvua Shav, because Shvua didn't do its job. The Shvua is supposed to be Mevarer what the truth is. But anyway, says Rav Zilberstein, from here you see that a person can't be Mashbia Chavero unless it's something that he's really not sure about. But if he knows what the truth is, then it's called being Gori Meshuva Shav when you cause someone else to swear. Because that's exactly how the Radvaz explains our Mishnah, that it's Elu Ve'elu, because one of them is lying and he's causing his friend to take a Shvua on something that really should not require a Shvua. However, he says it could be that in this case, with the workers, it's not really a Shvua for no reason, because he's having one guy take a Shvua in order to scare all of the other workers, to get them not to steal. And the guy who himself is swearing is Nishba Be'emes, and he doesn't know that the employer isn't really choshed him. He thinks he's swearing to clear his name. So from his perspective, it's not Lashav because he thinks he needs to clear his name. From the perspective of the employer, it's not Lashav because he needs this guy to swear in order to scare all the other workers. So it could be, he says, that this would not constitute a Shvua Shav. Okay, says the Mishnah. Weiter. Amr l'chenveni. A guy says to the chenveni, says to the storekeeper, Tain li bedinar peros, b'nasan lo. He says, give me for a dinar, give me fruits. And he gives it to him. Amr lo tain li oso dinar. So now the storekeeper says, okay, time to give me the dinar, the money for the fruits. Amr lo nasatavach. Says, what are you talking about? I already gave you the dinar. V'nasatavon pali, and you even put it away in your money bag. I saw you put it away. Yishava balabayi shenasan lo oso dinar. So the balabayi says to take a shvua that he in fact gave him the dinar, and then he won't have to pay again. So he's nishba v'nifta, right? He's nishba and v'lo mishalman in this case. Amr lo tein li esaperos, if he says, give me the fruits, amr lo nasatim lach, let's say he says to the storekeeper, okay, give me the fruits. Storekeeper says, what do you mean? I already gave you the fruits, v'lachtim l'toch beischa, and you already brought them home. Then yishav v'chenveni. The chenveni then is going to have to take the shvua that he in fact gave the fruits. Rabbi Yudah Omer kol shaperos biyado, yado al elyona. Rabbi Yudah says, now whoever is holding on to the fruits, he's the one with the upper hand. Whoever has the peros biyado is yado al elyona. So which case is Rabbi Yudah talking about? So Rashi points out, aresha palag. He's talking about the case where everyone agrees that the fruits were already handed over from the storekeeper to the buyer, but they're arguing about whether the money was handed over from the buyer to the storekeeper. So we know about the fruits. We know who's got the fruits. That's the case Rabbi Yudah is talking about. And he's saying that since in the Reisha it says that Yishava Balabayis, that he paid the money, so Rabbi Yudah comes along and says, no, the Balabayis doesn't have to take a Shvua that he paid the money, because a Chenveni would never give him fruits without getting the money. You pay the money and then you take the produce. He would never let him take the produce home without giving the money, and we saw the chenveni, he gave him the produce, so it must be that he received the money. That's Rabbi Yudah's shita. Similarly, if it's not a chenveni, a storekeeper who's selling fruits, but rather a shulchani who's doing a money exchange, Amar l'shulchani, he says to the money changer, Tein li bedinar ma'os, give me for a dinar ma'os. Ma'os are smaller currencies, right? Ma'os is nechoshes, copper currency. So he said, I'm going to give you a dinar kesef or a dinar zarv, whatever it might be, and you give me copper coins in return. V'nasanlo, so he gives him all these copper coins. Amar lo tein li as a dinar. He says, okay, now please pay me the dinar. Dinar, the money changer says. Amr lo, the customer says, Nasati lach, what do you mean I already gave you the dinar? V'nasata bun poli, and you put it away in your money bag. Then Yishava balabais, the balabais takes a shvua that he in fact already gave the dinar. Nasan lo asa dinar, amr lo tein li asa ma'os. If the balabais gave the dinar and he says, okay, now please give me my copper coins. Amr lo nasatim lach, and the money changer says, I already gave them to you. Vishlachta l'toch kischa, and you put them in your wallet. Yishava shulchani, the shulchani takes a shvua that he already gave them. Rabbi Yudah Omer ein derech shulchani litin isar ad sheitol dinar. Rabbi Yudah says, no, it's not normal that the shulchani would have ever given anything until he's received his money. And therefore, the shulchani automatically has the lower hand. We believe the balabayas, if we know for sure that the shulchani gave the prutos, and we just don't know if the dinar changed hands, you can bet that the dinar in fact did change hands. Kshem shamru hapagemis ksubasa nukes, kshem shamru hapagemis ksubasa lo tifra el b'shvua. Just like we say that if a woman is pogem or ksuba, that she admits that the ksuba was partially paid. So to get paid the rest of her ksuba, she needs to take a shvua. Ve'ilechad mi'ida shi perua lo tifra el b'shvua. Or if, let's say, you have one aid that says that this loan was already paid up, that the money was already paid back, so also you only get paid back with a shvua. Minichasim mishubadu minichse yisomim lo tipar el shvua. Also, from nechasim mishubadim, if you want to collect from properties that there's a lien on for other business dealings, for other loans, or to collect from yisomim, from properties that belong to yisomim, lo tifra el b'shvua. The only way you're ever going to get paid back is by taking a shvua. Vanifra shelo b'fanav lo tifra el b'shvua. Whenever you get paid back, not in front of the other party, because the other party's out of town or whatever, you're going to need to take a shvua. V'cheina yisomim lo yifru'u el b'shvua. And yisomim themselves also will never get paid without a shvua. Shvua shelo pakadnu abba, they have to take a shvua as follows, that a shvua that our father never told us, v'lo amar lanu abba shalomatzinu bein shtros v'shalabit shtar zeperua, meaning we take a shvua that our father never told us, if some want to get paid, they have to take a shvua that our father never told us that this shtar was already taken care of, that this shtar was already paid, meaning to the best of our knowledge, the shtar that we found in our father's possession that said that you owed $1,000 was never paid, and therefore we want to get paid that $1,000. But they can't obviously swear about whether it in fact was ever paid or not, but they can swear about that their father never told them it was paid, and therefore they have the right to assume it was not paid. Rabbi Yochanan Broko Omer, afilu nolad haben la'achar misas ha'av, harei ze nishpa v'notel. Even if the son was only born after the father died, he can still be nishpa v'notel. He can still take a shvua that he didn't find any receipts, and he found that there was a shtar, so that's it. That's all he needs to do in order to get paid back with the shtar that he found in the father's possession. Amar Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, im yesh edim sha'amar, because the chiddush of that line of Rabbi Yochanan Broka obviously is that if the yasum was only born after the father died, he obviously can't take a shvua that my father never told me that this shtar was paid up, because the father never told him anything. He never met his father. So the point is, but he can say, look, I didn't find anything in my father's records that indicates that this shtar was paid up, and therefore that's all he needs to say in order to get paid. Amar Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, im yesh edim sha'amar av b'shas misaso shtar ze eino perua hu notel shelo b'shvua. If there are edim that say that the father said at the time of his death that this shtar has not been paid up, then you can get paid back even without a shvua. Because what's the whole point of the shvua? To verify that the father never said the shtar was paid. If we have edim that the father dafka said the shtar was not paid, so you don't even need a shvua. We already know that what the father said, that the shtar was not paid, and therefore the yisum can get paid back even without a shvua. Period. Ve'elu nishpan shelo b'taina. The following people take a shvua even when there's no taina against them to demand a shvua. Hashutfin, if partners in a business venture want to get paid, v'ha'arisin or an aris, a sharecropper, v'apotropin, an apotropus, a caretaker of an estate, v'isha anoses v'anosenes pesoch habayis, a woman who's trusted to do the buying and selling within the house, meaning even though it's the husband's money, she's the one that does all the buying and selling, ben habayis, or any ben habayis, anyone who's amongst the people of the house. If let's go with the case of the woman or any of these people, the artist, but let's just say the woman. The woman says, "What taina do you have on me that you want me? What do you think I stole? What do you think I took? What do you think I did? Not right." And the husband just says, I don't know, I just want you to take a shavua. I just want you to swear that you didn't take anything. Meaning, I have no idea what you could have taken. You're the one that does all the business dealings. I'm just suspicious of something. I have no idea. So you don't need any specific taina. With all of these relationships, with these particular people, you don't need any specific taina. You took this money then and whatever. You don't need any taina. You just say, I just want you to swear. It just makes me more comfortable if you would swear. And then I won't have any more tainas on you. So then Shitaka has to swear. Once they already split the partnership and they're no longer partners, or the artist is no longer the sharecropper, then he can't be mashpia him anymore. But if anyway the woman is chayav shvua to her husband for some other reason, even though she's no longer nosiv nosim b'soch habayis, then he could be megalgal on her the old shvuas, that when she was, that she didn't take anything. Or the same with the aris, or the shutfin, that when there was a shutfus, that they didn't take anything. You can't be mechayav them a shvua meyikara right now, lechadchila right now, once the partnership is dissolved. But if he's chayav shvua anyway, you could be megalgal him old shvuas. And the last line, Hashvius Mishameta says Hashvua. Shemitah cancels out the Chi of Shvua. Just like it cancels out alone, it's Mishameta the Shvua as well. Now this idea that a woman is Nosev and Nosev Mesoch HaBayis, so what exactly are the limitations on that? That if a woman is allowed to be Nosev and Nosev Mesoch HaBayis, is she allowed to do anything with the husband's money, that she's completely trusted anything but steal? Or do we assume that no, that even when she's Nosev and Nosenes Mesoch HaBayis, she doesn't have complete rights? So again, in the Sefer Chashuk Echemet, he had a Maisa where a woman was a woman's wedding band fell out of the window of her house into the courtyard in front of the house, and she looked all day for it and she couldn't find it. And she gets the 5 times Jewish time, so she knows that if you ever really want something very badly, you get you promise money to kupa a ear, and then all your problems are going to be solved. That solves all the world's problems. So she decided that she was going to make a donation to kupa a ear, and the donation would be the equivalent of the gematria of Taba'as Nisuin. So she would give the gematria of Taba'as Nisuin to Kupar Yir if she finds the wedding band. Sure enough, it was stuck in a crack in the windowsill, so it never actually made it down into the chatzer. She found it, and she wanted to give the money equal to Taba'as Nisuin. Husband comes home, and she tells him, we got to give the money equal to Taba'as Nisuin. And the husband says, are you kidding me? You just were no there 908 shkalim for a wedding band. The wedding band didn't even cost that much. That's way too much money. How could you do such a thing? He was shocked that she had done this. So number one, the shaila was whether her neder shalom baratzon baila, whether the neder is even chal. And number two, if the neder is chal, is it the husband's responsibility to pay for it? Well, let her deal with it. Let her figure it out. Why is it the husband's responsibility to pay for it? So he says, Meikra Adin, the Baal is not chayiv to pay Nidra Ishto, because the Gemara B'Metzia Daf Kuf Dalet says that a Baal is chayiv to bring Karbanos Ishto, but Tosfos says that's only Karbanos that are for a Kapara that she's really chayiv to bring. But if she takes a Neder, the husband's not responsible to bring those Karbanos that are Nedarim and Nedavos, because the Lashon Tosfos says she could take a Neder of Elef Ola B'chol Yom, bring 1,000 Olas Nedava every single day, and that can't be the husband's responsibilities. But also, not only that, the Rush writes in the Tshuva, and this nogeya to us, Klal Yud Gimel, Simen Yud Aleph, that even when you have a woman who's noses v'nosenes b'soch habayis, meaning the husband says, you do the shopping, you pay the bills, you take care of all those things, that's her responsibility in the house. Even though you're allowed to accept money from such a woman, says the Rush, only a davar muat, and that's only mistama, that we say mistama, the Baal's not makbid on small amounts of money that just involve the daily running of the household. But if there's one unusual expense that comes out of nowhere, even when she's noses v'nosenes b'soch habayis, that you're not allowed to take the money from her. She's not authorized to make such expenditures. Pischei Tshuva, quotes the Nodeb Yehuda, was asked about a woman that knows that her husband is very stingy when it comes to giving tzedakah, and he can afford to give way more tzedakah than he really does. So she wants to know if she can give, so she tries to give more. She wants to give more. So she knows her husband's not happy about it, but that's what she wants to do. Are you allowed to take the tzedakah from such a woman? And the Yehuda says, Chas v'shalom, to be mekabel from her. It's gezel gamur to go and be mekabel, even though Beis Din is kofal tzedakah, even though we know Beis Din can force a person who can afford to give more tzedakah to actually give more tzedakah, but the woman is not a dayan. She's not Beis Din, so she doesn't have the right to go and force the person to force her husband to give tzedakah. So again, even an isha that's noses v'nosenes b'soch habayis, where when she sells, her sale is valid. When she buys, right, her purchase is valid. And even nedarim within reason, but when it's an unusual expenditure, that's a limitation on her rights. Okay, says the Gemara. How do I know that whenever you have a shvuah d'oraisa, it's always a shvuah to get you off the hook? Right, the pasuk says shvuah Hashem tiyeh bein shneim, and the pasuk ends v'lakach ba'alav lo yishalem. So we see that the person whose responsibility it is to pay, who should be the one paying, he's the one that takes the shvua, and then he won't have to pay. And the following are a list of shvuas to Rabbanan, where you nishba v'notal. So the Gemara says, okay, let's take a look at the employer, right? We said that the employee is allowed to take a shvua and get paid. Why? Why were the Rabbanan misakein that instead of the employer taking the shvua to avoid payment, the employee can take a shvua and collect? So says the Gemara, Amar Rav Yudah Amar Shmuel, halachos gedolos shanu kan. Oh, these are big halachos. Halachos, honey, hilchos aneinu, what do you mean halachos? This is an halachos on Moshe Mishinai, this is a din drabanan. Ela ema takanos gedolos shanu kan. These are major takanos. Okay, gedolos mechal dika ketanos. When you say these are major takanos, it implies that there are some smaller takanos. So what are you talking about? Ela Amar Rav Nachman Amar Shmuel, takanos kavuos shanu kan. No, what we mean to say is that these are very well-established takanos, that the employee gets to take a shvua. Why? Akrur rabban l'shvua mi-balabayis, v'shadvua asachim mishum kedei chayav. That it's true. Really, the balabayis should be the one taking the shvua. The rabbanan took away the shvua from the balabayis and instead gave it to the employee in order that he should be able to make a living. Mishum kedei chayav d'sachar kansinu le'balabayis. So says Gemara, what? So that the employee can make a living, we take away the rights of the employer? Why is that fair? So balabayis kufei nichale de mishtav asachiv shakal keichiditkun leipol. And says Gemara, the balabayis would rather have that system in place. He'd rather have the sachir be the one to take a shvua and collect based on the shvua, meaning he'd rather leave it in the employee's hands, because then it will always be easy for him to find people to work for him. If anyone who works for him knows that the terms of the employment are that whether they get paid or how they get paid is completely in their, it's in their control, as long as they're willing to take a shvua, then they're more likely to want to work for him. So the balabais is happy to be able to find workers. Maybe you could say the other way, that the workers are happy to leave it in the balabais' hands, because then it's easier for them to find work, and they'd like to find work. It's all a question of whether it's what the market's like, if it's easy to find workers or hard to find workers. So says Gemara, balabais al korche agar. Now the balabais is going to hire workers anyway. The question is he going to be able to find the proper workers? So frankly, al korche Miskar. The sachar also automatically is for sure going to be hired out to work. So Ella, rather we have to say there's a totally different svara as to why it is that the Rabbanan took the shvua away from the balabayas and gave the shvua instead to the sachar. And that is balabayas tar b'pa'alafu. The balabayas is so caught up with his workers that he doesn't always remember all the details of how much he owes and who he paid and everything. So the Rabbanan said, you know what, let's give the shvua to the sachir, who definitely remembers all the details, rather than keeping it with the balabais, who probably doesn't remember. So v'leisav lei b'lo shvua, why don't we give it to him without a shvua? K'dei l'hafiz daito shel balabais. No, we at least make the sachir take a shvua to keep the balabais calm and feel comfortable with the situation. V'leisav lei b'edim, why don't we give it to him, why don't we make him pay the wages with edim, in order to make sure that everything is honest over here? So that's a big hassle to find edim every time you want to pay your workers. Why didn't the Rabbanan misakin that you give the person the workers, the money, the payment before they do their day's work, and therefore you won't come into this argument later on? Shnei and Rosenbach Kafa. I said no. It benefits everybody that the workers only get paid at the end of the day. If they get paid at the beginning of the day, they'll blow all their money on their lunch break, and they're going to end up not bringing any money home. It benefits everybody to get paid at the end of the day. So then even if he set a set wage, the halacha should be the same. Alam Atanya, why do we have a brisa that says, Umar Amar Shtayim Katsasi Liva Lomar Lo Katsasi Lo Chela Achas Hamotzi Mechaver Olof Haraya, that if you want to get paid in the case where you were kotzeitz, then you got to bring a proof. So why do you have to bring a proof? Why didn't Rabbanu make the same takana? So it says, Marno, Ktsitsa Vade Mitka Dakirle. Something that's a set wage, definitely the guy is going to remember. Frankly, Gemara Yachi, if that's the case, afilu avar zman unami, then even if the zman already passed, it should also be so. Alamatanya, why do we learn in a brisa avar zman of lo nasan lo hareza einu nishpa venotel chazaka in balabayis over b'val talvim, that if the time has passed and he hasn't gotten paid yet, so then he does not get to take a shvua and collect his money, because the balabayis, we have a chazaka, the balabayis wouldn't violate b'val talvim by delaying the wages. What do you mean such a chazaka? Don't we say the Baal Bayis gets all confused because he's got so many workers? No, that's only before the Zman to pay has come. Once the Zman to pay has already come, we assume he's not going to get confused anymore and he'll know exactly what he owes. Well, we say that we have a chazaka, the Baal Bayis would never pay late, and we don't have a chazaka that the Sachir is not going to steal. So Gabay Baal Bayis, he could trade chazaka. The Baal Bayis has two chazakas in his favor. Chadu dein balabayis over baltalin, v'chadu dein sachir mashes charo. The two chazakas are, number one, that he wouldn't violate baltalin by delaying the payment, and number two, that a sachir would never wait to get paid. He'd want to get paid the day that he did the work, versus the one chazak of the sachir that he wouldn't steal. Amrav nachem namar shmuel, lo shanu lo shesachir be'edim, al sachir shelo be'edim, that's only when he hired him with edim, but if he hired him without edim, mitok shiach alom lo lo schaticha me'olam, since he could say to him, I never hired you, you can also say, I hired you and I paid your wages already. That's exactly what Rabbi Yochanan says. That implies that Reish Lakish disagrees. So some say, when Reish Lakish disagreed with Rabbi Yochanan, that Reish Lakish would sit there and drink while Rabbi Yochanan was talking so that he wouldn't jump up and just attack Rabbi Yochanan as soon as he disagreed. Others say he just sat there quietly till Rabbi Yochanan was done speaking in order not to attack Rabbi Yochanan right away. So it's possible someone could have heard Rabbi Yochanan speak and not heard if Reish Lakish disagrees or doesn't disagree, because Reish Lakish always let Rabbi Yochanan finish his piece before Reish Lakish said anything. Okay, we'll have to stop there. We'll pick up Ezra Shem from Itmar Nami tomorrow. We got some catching up to do.